Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon, and I am the spokesman for the King of Glory. So we thank God that we are here on another episode of Truth on Blog Talk Radio. My question is to you, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? There are a lot of people say that they are believers, but that's the question that is imperative. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? So we're here on another episode of Blog Talk Radio, Truth on Blog Talk Radio. So we're continuing in the book of the Hebrews. Whoever the Hebrew writer is, we're continuing in that book. And so that's where we'll be, our lesson will be derived from, the book of Hebrews, Better in Christ, the New Covenant, or the New Testament, or the new will. So we want you to know, as we know, there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is through you all, and He's above all, through all, and in you all. So this is St. Paul, the Apostle, letter to the church at Ephesus, the Ephesian church. They had already, so these letters are the children's bread. So in the book of the Acts is where salvation begun, where the new church, the birth of the new church began in the book of the Acts of the Apostles. So in the Gospels, they were still under the law. They were being called out. The Lord was showing His earthly ministry, that He was Emmanuel, God with us, fulfilling the New Testament scriptures. Like He said, all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms, He said, concerning me. Thus it behooved Christ to suffer and arise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So we know this is what He wrote in Luke, the last chapter, the 24th chapter, and it beginning at the 44th verse. So He told them to go back to the city of Jerusalem, wait till they be endued with power from on high. So when the day of Pentecost has fully come, that is when the fulfillment of Joel 2:28 shall come to pass, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. Upon my servants and my handmaids will I pour out of my spirit in those days. So we have other prophecy that's got to be fulfilled after those words in the second chapter of Joel. But we thank God that we're here on today and we're able to continue in the book of the Hebrews. And we'd like to thank all of our listeners, all of our LinkedIn connections, all of our Facebook friends, all of our Blog Talk friends, and all our Twitter followers for tuning in to Blog Talk Radio. If you don't catch this broadcast live, you catch this broadcast on demand, as we say. All of it is on demand, so we thank God for the opportunity that we have to use the internet as social media. That's the word I'm looking for. So we are able to use social media and even Blog Talk itself. It's actually social media. And then a lot of people still don't know about Blog Talk Radio. And I think it's been around since 06, if I'm not mistaken. So people still are not familiar with Blog Talk Radio. But we thank God that we're here and we're able to declare the word of the Lord. And so it's been a little while since I've done Blog Talk Radio, but I'm back. And so with Truth on Blog Talk Radio, I actually relocated from the north to the south, so from Michigan to Florida. So I'm glad to be here. I'm back, and I'm not gone nowhere. So thank God. Scripture says, follow peace with all men, and that's in the book of Hebrews also. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. So there's a lot of things have been going on in a Christendom, as we say, in the Christian world. A lot of things have been going on. But if we know what the Word of God says, then we shouldn't be surprised, knowing that we're living in perilous times or dangerous times. So nothing should shock us. So there's all kind of people coming out of the woodwork, as it were, out of the closet and everywhere else, and talking out of the side of their neck. They're saying things that they have no scripture to back it up. And that's what we were taught to. You can ask the question, give me verse and give me scripture. So some things people are doing in today's world, actually, it came out of their own heart. So that's why we have to keep our heart, as the writer says in Proverbs 4:23, keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So we have to keep our own heart. We have to watch and pray. So I know people have a play on words. The Bible says watch as well as pray. It don't say that. It says watch and pray. Then not only that, take heed that no man deceive you. So we have to be very careful. So we ended up in the sixth chapter of Hebrews here, and he's a lot of good meat here in the sixth chapter of Hebrews when he was saying, leaving the principles of the doctrine, let us go on to perfection. We talked about perfection. People like to say, oh, none of us perfect, but that is not true. And the Lord in St. Matthew 5:48 says, be therefore perfect, even as my Father in heaven is perfect. You have to understand what the word perfect means. So it actually is talking about maturity. So we don't have to be afraid of that. Even St. Paul, in a number of his letters, told us to be perfect. God called Job perfect. God called Noah perfect. in his day. So he wants us to be, and there's kings that had a perfect heart. There were kings that did not have a perfect heart. So as we finished up in the sixth chapter of Hebrews, and he was talking about, about people falling away to renew them again unto repentance. So that's why you want to take the earnest heed, like the in subsequent chapters in Hebrews, the things which we heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. So this is what we want to do, is to hold on. So God is with us, and we are looking back at Israel because their problem was one word, unbelief. They did not believe as they should. One Hebrew writer says the word preached unto them did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So it's imperative, not just to be a hearer, but a doer of the word. Like James says, you look into the law, perfect law of liberty. You don't want to be a forgetful hearer of the work, but a doer. This man shall be blessed in his deed. So he goes on here, and he's talking about God is not unrighteous to forget our work and labor of love, which we have showed toward his name. Then that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. We desire every one of you to show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. And he goes on here, God made promise to Abraham. He could swear by no greater. He swear by himself. So either if he swore to himself, he swear by himself, he's God. He swore alone. So if God told you something, he rest assured it's going to come to pass. The question is, did God say it? That is a very legitimate question, because a lot of times people say, the Lord told me this, the Lord said that. Well, what God says is going to line up with his word also. Just like Abraham, the Lord had said, get out of your father's house, out of your country, into a land that I will show you. So he went, not knowing whether he went. So faith does speak. And not only that, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So it's the same word. So he says, surely, blessing our bless thee, multiplying our multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God willingly, more abundantly, to show unto the heirs of the promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed by an oath. So immutable, he can't change. So that by two immutable things in which it was impossible, the Hebrew writer says, for God to lie, that we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. So he goes on here, which hope and which endureth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered. And then he goes on here, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So we know Melchizedek, he didn't have beginning of the days, the end of life. We're going to see as we move on here to realize who he is. So this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. Now remember, now the book of Hebrews takes you, it deals with things in back in the book of Leviticus, he deals with things in the book of Genesis. St. Paul deals with a lot of things in the book of Psalms, like I made mention on before, when he was talking about when he could swear by no greater, he swear by himself. He was saying, today, after so long a time as is in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works 40 years, said how he was grieved with that generation, said they do always err in their hearts. Then he said, I swear my wrath that they shall not enter into my works, into my rest. They shall not enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. That's back in previous chapters. I'm just making a quote about it. So that quote, when he was saying, wherefore it is as it is written, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. That's out of the 95th Psalm. So that's we don't want to be like that. And I remember, like, sometimes people don't really understand some things you take literally, and then some there are types and shadows, and you have to get an understanding. Like in the book of Proverbs, it says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. So you got to get understanding. So God said, the Lord Jesus himself, when he began his earthly ministry, in a couple of the Gospels, I believe it's Matthew, and I believe it was Mark or either Luke, when he said, God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. So what is he talking about? He's not talking about rocks. When he made mention about these should hold their peace, he was talking about the people that he was talking to. He said the rocks will immediately cry out. He's not talking about no rocks on the ground. He is talking about the heart. That's why in the book of Ezekiel 36 and 26, he says, I'll take out of them a stony heart and give them a heart of flesh. That is what he's talking about, is the condition of your heart. That's why you have to watch your heart. That is why you have to keep your heart. So what is it that they did? What happened to Israel? He, in subsequent chapters in Hebrews, he said that they had an evil heart of unbelief. And how did their heart get evil? How did their heart get hardened? Through the deceitfulness of sin. See, the devil is clever. The things that he does. And what he does is, just like a little leaven, a leaven, a whole lump. We made mention about the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. So it's like a wedge, like an axe. Get a crack, put the axe in the crack. That's all he want to do is just find a little crack, little wedge to get in. He's patient. He's very subtle the way that he works, because that's why you have to be careful. When you in the secret place of the Most High, the devil cannot read our mind. He can't. Sometimes you can't. Some prayers, God knows our moaning and our groaning. Some things, that you can't. You don't even have to utter, because he knows. You know, somebody said, this devil is about to get me. Then he knows if you done told on yourself, if you verbally say it. So we just have to be careful, because he'll work on us. He got a lot of tools that he works with. One of his main tools when he can't use nothing else is discouragement. He will try to discourage you. And how do we know? That's what he did. After a mighty great victory, the prophet Elijah caught fire down from heaven. What did he do? The enemy had him on the run from one woman. Her name was Jezebel. And he was saying, he's the only one left. God let him know, I got 7,000 having bowed the knee or kissed Baal's image. So God is a faithful God. And this is what the Hebrew writer is letting us know here. So he goes on here about whom Abraham gave a tenth part of all, being first by interpretation king of righteousness, after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made, here's the word, like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. So there's only one, didn't have beginning of days nor end of life. And that's why I use, excuse me, the term the Godhead, because everyone does not understand what that means. And that I come to give a death lick to the notion of a so-called Trinity. That is a lie from the pit of hell. There is no such thing as the Trinity. So the Godhead is in the Bible, which is the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. In the Bible three times. It's in Colossians, talking about don't be aware, don't you be fooled by vain deceit at the rudiments of the world, not after Christ, 2, verse 9 in Colossians, for in him, in the previous verse, in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. And the sonship is a office, and many don't understand it's an office. So when they're going to see him, like I made mention before of the quote out of Zechariah 12 and 10, the latter clause, the burden of the word of the Lord is the first part of that scripture, Zechariah 12 and 10 in the Old Testament. And the latter clause says, they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. So that was back in the Old Testament. That was the Lord. So this is Emmanuel. Jesus is Jehovah who has become our salvation. That's what Mary was asking the question, how shall these things be? When she had her salutation, her and Elizabeth was talking before Jesus or John the Baptist were born in the flesh. So I don't know a man. How is this going to happen? So the angel said the power of action and the angel Gabriel appeared unto her. I'm Gabriel that stand in the presence of God. So he let her know the power of the high is going to overshadow thee and come upon thee. Therefore, that holy thing which shall be born of thee, born of you, Mary, the Virgin Mary, shall be called the Son of God. The holy thing shall be called the Son of God. Luke 1 and 35. So he calls himself the Son of God. Now, the Jews know there's only one God. There's only one Messiah. That's why they said, you're a man making yourself God or making yourself, as they said, equal with God, because they know that there is only one God. But where they got in trouble, they didn't accept the Son of God as coming, the Messiah who came. Now, he's coming back. A lot of people say, he's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle, won't be long. He's going to come back, his second coming and all. But they don't realize in the second coming, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. The second coming, we're going to be with him. The church is going to be with him. He's going to appear. That's why the writer says, I would not have you ignorant concerning them which are asleep that you saw not, even as others which have no hope. This we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain shall not prevent them which are asleep. This we say unto you by the word of the Lord, is what he was going on to say. 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. He's so high and lifted up. He's so high, he got to humble himself. The psalmist says, to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth. But the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. Simultaneously, you imagine that? A shout, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive, remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. End of quote. So that's why he goes on in the next verse, 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. But at the times and the seasons, you know that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. And he goes on to say, when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction. So these so-called peace agreements that they're talking about, it's not going to be no peace until the Prince of Peace comes. It's going to be peace when he sits on the throne of David. After the battle of Armageddon, it's going to be peace when the devil is cast into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. Then it's going to be peace on earth during that time. So until then, it's not going to be. So as we go on here, he's talking about this man that didn't have beginning of day. He didn't have a mother. He didn't have descent. Beginning of days nor end of life, made like unto a son of God, the Son of God, abideth the priest continually. And I consider how great this man was. under whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. Somebody said, what did he do with them? He consumed them. They don't, there's nobody else. If Melchizedek had to be none other than the Lord himself. Remember, now God can appear in any form. A lot of times in the Old Testament, they said the angel of the Lord went before the camp. The angel of the Lord, in some cases in the Old Testament, the angel of the Lord was the Lord himself. What case in point? Moses. He saw that bush not being consumed. He beheld that sight. That's what he was saying. You know, he wanted to know who it was. And he let him know, take off your shoes. Where you stand is holy ground. So it was the Lord talking to him out of that burning bush. And that bush is not being consumed. So it is today. We, like Peter said, that the trial of your faith being much more precious of gold that perish, though it be tried with fire, might be found under praise and glory and honor at the appearing of Jesus Christ, who've not seeing yet believe, whom ye love, though you see him not yet believing, ye rejoice. This is in 1 Peter, the first chapter. He goes on to say that we rejoice in the fire with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And that, you know, and then they got a song, joy unspeakable and full of glory, and the half has never yet been told. And that was, I believe, a part of that song came from the Queen of Sheba when they wrote, she was just blown away by the wisdom of Solomon. So he told her, he answered all her questions. She went back, her mind was blown, as we would say. So she was baffled, she was bewildered, she was befuddled, she was amazed at, for lack of a better word, all those little words that I use. But he goes on here, now consider how great this man was. And so he's talking about how he gave even the patriarch Abraham the tenth of the spoils. And verily, there are they that are the sons of Levi who receive the office of the priesthood have a commandment to take tithes of the people. So he goes on, he's making a point here. According to the law, that was under the Levitical law, but that is of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not accounted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed and the better. Here men that die receive tithes, but here he received them of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. Who? Melchizedek. And as many as I may so say, Levi also, who received tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. So we know that tithes were before the law. So he said he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. If therefore perfection were of the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? The question, for the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance to the altar. It is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, out of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. For he testified, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. There is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. And inasmuch as not without an oath, he was made a priest. He was made priest. For those priests were made without an oath, but this man with an oath, by him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. But so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. He's giving the answer. This man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. And he goes on to say, for such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needed not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. Talking about the man, Christ Jesus. For the law maketh men high priests, which have infirmity, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. So we go on, and we're going to see here, like a testament is up for us after men are dead. So it's a what a wonder about God, what he did. And he came in the body, in a human body. That's why he said Emmanuel, the prophet wrote in Isaiah 7:14, behold, the Lord shall, a virgin shall conceive and shall be with child and shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So he ever liveth. So not forever, but ever, because the sonship is given for a purpose. And the sonship will be over, and when he put down all rule and authority, he must reign till he put all enemies under his feet. 1 Corinthians 15 chapter, writer goes on to say, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. But now they're going to see that body. Like somebody said, where is that body? He can appear in every whatever form he wants to appear in at will. He's God. He cannot be contained. He can never be what he is not. So he can't be contained. When he gets done being what he wants to be, he goes back to being what he always was, what he never ceased to be. He is always God. And then I'm going on here, just flying on through, and I want to give out my call-in number. Should you desire to call in, 929-477-2285. That is 929-477-2285. Should you desire to call in, you have a question, you have a comment, you are welcome to call in. So he goes on here to sum this up in the 8th chapter of Hebrews. So he says, now of the things which have we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest, who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched, not man. Every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, wherein it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were here on earth, he should not be a priest. Seeing that there are no priests, if he were here on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, with God giving him instruction, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed thee in the mount. So he goes on him, now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. And then if you've been, and that's what I said, this is the key thing in the book of Hebrews. This is better. Even though we know the subject is God, everything was established upon upon better, we got hope, we have better promises. So this is what St. Paul was letting everybody know when he wrote to Timothy, his son in the gospel, about prayers being made for all that are in authority, and then that we might live a quiet and peaceable life. And he went on to say there is one God. This is First Timothy, the second chapter. One God, one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. He gave himself a ransom in due time. He was going to fulfill his purpose, is what he going on to say there. So if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my laws into their mind. I'll write them in their hearts. I'll be to them a God. They shall be to me a people. So God is doing, he's working in so many ways that we don't, simultaneously, that we don't even know. They shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me from the least to the greatest. I'll be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. And that he saith, a new covenant he hath made, the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. So what a wonder about God, because he's going to raise up Israel. Those bones in the book of Ezekiel, I believe the 38th chapter, goes on near the end of the chapter when he says, this is the whole house of Israel. He's going to raise them up. He's going to bring David back. David is going to be the king of the earth. Israel is the earthly seed. The church is the heavenly seed. So that's why he said, blessed are the meek, they shall inherit the earth. I mean, so many things he was saying about the righteous and the church. And the righteous is going to go away into eternal life. And the unrighteous, they're going to go away into eternal damnation. Matthew, the 25th chapter, when he's talking about the talents, talking about the righteous, talking about those that, when did we do this? When did we do that? When did you not do it? Much as you did it not to the least of these, my brethren, you done it not unto me. And then vice versa. Much as you did to the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. So God is not wasting no time. And I did prison ministry for 20 years. So that truly, that is a sacrifice. When you are dedicated to go and whatever time that you have a window of time cut out, they're letting you go in there. And there are hungry people in there. Sure, there were distractions. I did prison ministry for 20 years. 18 of the 20 years was women's prison. And we didn't want to do that. Because what happened, we were doing prison ministry in men's prison, and then they start turning these men prisons into women's prisons. So we saw it as a door of opportunity to get some of the sisters and evangelists in the church, in our local church, in the prison to minister to the women. So what happened, we got a man, and they gave us a Sunday too. So we couldn't get away because that was like, different, you're ministering to women. So I've seen, we God gave us the grace to do it. So that's why, like I made mention on before, he was talking about, we have not a great high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. And then he goes on to say, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. God gave us grace to do the prison ministry, because I actually saw pastors' daughters in there. I saw ministers' daughters of people that we knew relatives. You got a relative, excuse me, in there, you can't, then you can't go if you got a relative. So people wanted us to do things, to leave messages. You could tell somebody something verbally. You can't carry a note and tell somebody, you know, deliver to somebody. So they had rules, but there were people, they would actually be in tears because we were echoing what they heard all their lives. I'm saying this, especially this one pastor's daughter. But that's how it goes. And so you have to be so very careful what you don't get, you know, in bad company, hanging out with the wrong crowd is what I used to tell my sons when they were growing up. You have to be careful because association does bring about assimilation. And just like St. Paul told the Corinthian church, he says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners, and they do. You can't be, because I worked at General Motors for 30 years. I mean, you have to be careful. I mean, you don't want people to think that you're anti-sociable and none of that, but on the other hand, you ain't laughing at every little dirty joke that they're telling either. So you just have to draw the line. You know, sometimes some things are just pathetic, and they're not funny, but you just have to be careful because you don't want to be standing in the way of sinners. So we go on here. So he was saying that. See where I left off. Oh yeah. So anyway, he sacrificed himself when he was talking about here. I think I'm almost. Oh yeah. Okay. So, yeah, I'm getting ahead of myself. But anyway, so talking about the new covenant, that which is decayed and waxed old is ready to vanish away. So he's talking about, you know, what he's going to literally do actually for Israel here in the 8th chapter of Hebrews. So we go on here. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service in a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was a candlestick, the table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. After the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was a golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that buddeth, and the tables of the covenant. And over it, the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot speak particularly. And then I remember, like, back in the Old Testament when Hezekiah and some of those prophets prayed. So their prayer, they said, God, which dwelleth between the cherubims. In other words, he is high and lifted up. He is a holy God. He is a place where you got to, you want your heart to be right because you want to him to hear your cry. See, that's why the Hebrew writer says, Hebrews 4:12, we read on last time, for the word of God is quick. That means it's alive, it's living. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing asunder to the dividing of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. What is God's word? He goes on to say, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him which whom we have to do. Talking about God's word, talking about his eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth. He's looking for somebody whose heart is perfect toward him on his behalf. So you can't, so in other words, he is a high God. As one writer said, he's high and lifted up. And so he goes on here, and these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest. See, you got the difference, the priest and the high priest. The high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and then for the heirs of the people. So you read in the Old Testament, They went in, Aaron them. They went in the presence of God, the high priest, once a year. He had to offer, he had to be better be right. That's why they had that rope tied around him. That's why they had them bells on him. What did Moses say when he got the commandment of God? If he went in there, so in other words, he better go in there right, that he die not. That's biblical language. In other words, he don't die, that he die not. So they don't hear them bells ringing. They got that rope around him because they can't go in there and get him because they will die also, or die too, as we say. So they had a rope around him. They don't hear them bells ringing. They pull him out. He went in there. He got sin. He is dead. So in other words, you got to go in there right. So he went in alone. And so once a year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people, the Holy Ghost, this signifying that the holiest of all, the way unto the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in the which we offered both gifts and sacrifices, that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. What is he talking about? Back then. So he goes on here, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washes and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. But, remember, the wages of sin is death, Romans 6 and 23. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Christ being come and high priest of things, good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. That is to say, he didn't have the blood that we have, but his body, his blood came from his Father. His blood came from heaven. The body came from the Son of God, came from the woman, Galatians 4 and 4. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. And the Hebrew writer says he didn't take on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. We already read those verses back in the first, second, and third chapter of Hebrews. He didn't take on him, talking about the Son of God, he didn't take on the nature of angels, but he took on the seed of Abraham. It behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. Who? The human family, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. So he goes on here, he becoming high priest, Christ is being coming high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle. Oh, my time is getting away here. Not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. So neither by blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once unto the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify it to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of the Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offer himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. For this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of transgressions that were under, they that were under the first testament, they were all which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament, there must also be necessity, of necessity be the death of the testator. So that's what I was looking to get. So what he did, he didn't only die and leave us a new testament or a new will. Like if you write a will for your, in my case, I was married for a long time before my wife passed. So at presently, I'm not. So if I was to leave a will, I would leave it for my next of kin, which would be my offspring, which would be my sons. So you hope that they will get it. But he didn't just die and leave the will, but he rose from the dead and he made sure that we got it. So what a mighty God we serve. This is like somebody said about the translations, you know, the Hebrew and the different translations. It matters not. It doesn't matter what the devil tried to do. And some of these people that were the scribe, they had to translate what they were told to translate. But what I'm saying is it didn't take away from the Lord, because everybody don't speak Hebrew. Everybody don't speak Greek. We don't know what language we're going to speak. We, like John says, we don't know what we shall be. We know when he shall appear, we shall be like him. He says, beloved, now we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, in 1 John the 3rd chapter. But we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And he goes on to see every man, say, every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. So I'm going on here, go back here. So he goes on here, where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. Testament is a force after men are dead. Otherwise, it's of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood, when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the New Testament, which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. So that's why he said in Acts 2 and 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? For the remission of sins. Just like what he says right here. So the blood is in the name of the Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ. That's where the blood is. Almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered into the holy place made without hands, which are the figures of the truth, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself. Now get this, often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others. See, they had to do this. It was what they call annual. We say annual, like you got to pay your taxes once a year. If you don't pay them, some business people pay theirs quarterly. But tax day is April 15th as a benchmark, as we would say. That's the date. April 15th, pay up. April 15th, if we owe you, then we'll give it back. But we made money on your money, as far as that part goes. But anyway, once a year. So not yet that he should offer himself, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year without blood, with the blood of others. But then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, he hath appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Remember now that he sacrificed himself. He came, he was sent, he is God. God didn't stop being God because he became a man. Remember, in the 40th Psalm says, sacrifices and offerings thou wouldest, but a body thou hast prepared me. And he was saying, lo, I come in the volume of the book is written of me to do thy will, O God. And we're going to read that in the 10th chapter of Hebrews 2. He came in the volume of the book. He prepared himself a body. We're going to get to that. So as we go on here, our time is just about gone. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So appearing. So that's what we look for. He says in the book of Philippians, we wrote to the church at Philippi, from hence we look, so our conversation is in heaven. So in other words, that's why we live in the lifestyle that we are, so we can go there, so we can be right. Hence we look for the Lord Jesus, who shall change our body like unto his glorious body, whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself, in the book of Philippians. So anyway, so I think I shouldn't even like go, let's see, maybe about another minute or so. But anyway, because my time is just about gone, and I can just pick up here on next time. For the law having a shadow of good things to come, not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices. What is he talking about? The bulls and the goats and the heifers and the turtle doves and pigeons and all that thing which they done, which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. But then would they not have ceased to be offered, because they that the worshipers once purged should have had no more conscience of sin. So this is what he's saying here. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. He goes on here, it's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifices and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me, and burnt offerings and sacrifices for sins thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. When he saith, sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and offerings for sin thou wouldest not, neither hast thou pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. So I think I'm going to end right there. So we just thank God that we were able to come back and to look in the perfect law of liberty on another day. And keep in mind, you got to search yourself. Like Jesus says, search the scriptures, for in them you think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. St. John 5 and 39. You don't want to just go through here, going through the motions, but you want to make sure that you are born again. That's why you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Thanks for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That is truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. And so, always remember that we love you, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So, I want you to think on this. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one place, with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, filled all the house where they were sitting, appeared unto them, clothed in tongues like as of fire, and instead of each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them.